Okay, y'all. Young people, if you're ready for your study, you can do that. The rest of us, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. I'm going to read the whole chapter here in a few minutes. Just so you're prepared for that. We've been talking about faith in today's world, a counter-culture idea, a counter-culture endeavor, and that is nothing new under the sun, right? It's been that way since Jesus came into the world. It's been that way since the Spirit of God came upon the apostles at Pentecost. That darkness continually tries to rid itself of the light. Am I right? It's an ongoing battle, and it will be an ongoing battle until the Lord comes back, until Jesus returns, and then it'll be over. And there will be no more darkness, and there will only be light. Praise the Lord. Today's world, if you're like me, if you're paying attention, if you've been around the block, most of you have been around the block a couple more times than I have. It often feels like it's drowning in darkness at times. And some of the things that have gone on in the recent weeks are contribute to that and grab our attention and cause us to stop ignoring the darkness because it's right there in our face. There have been, just in the last few weeks, we've watched a young girl be murdered while riding a train by somebody she didn't know, and it appears that no one around her would even help her. And just recently, we watched one of our brothers be martyred and assassinated because he speaks truth. Unashamedly spoke the truth in his life. And darkness cannot handle the light. So for some reason, aside from the fact that they are given over to the darkness, it must rid itself of the light, which is not possible. So that's why bad things happen. And it's hard to ignore some of these things because in the middle of all of what I just mentioned, if you were paying attention to the fine details, there was also a school shooting that nobody talked about. Right? And that doesn't include everything else around the planet that didn't make the news. Right? That darkness is trying to do. That darkness does in this world. Now, I'm saying all this because I want y'all to leave here encouraged in the Lord. I want y'all to leave here excited about the Lord. Violence fills our headlines. Division tears families and communities apart. And sometimes many people might feel like hope is a rare commodity. Like there's no hope anymore. It's not like it was just a few generations ago where everybody at least acknowledged God's existence. It's not like it was when a few generations ago, maybe at least in this country, where most people went to church on Sunday. Right? At least pretended to know God. It ain't the way it is anymore, is it? Nobody, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to know God. Doesn't it seem like anybody cares about God and His truth? But that's not true at all. There's many of us out here. There's many of us speaking truth into this dark world. There's many of the believers in the world that are not just preachers and not just elders and churchgoers. I'm talking about many Christians around the world are standing in the truth wherever they live and wherever they work. The light is there. and it will not be extinguished. In the midst of the shadows of darkness, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, because their world was really dark, this church, these believers. And they were struggling with it all. They were struggling with everything the world would bring on them. And they were struggling with their own faith. And they were struggling to understand the ways of God. They were struggling to see the light and figure out what to do with it, this church in Corinth. And Paul wrote this letter. And in the middle of this letter, to help them understand and to get them pointed in the right direction, he gives them the key to it all. He gives them the ammunition they need to be the light in the darkness. Because you and I are like anybody else. We sit back and say, what do we do about this darkness that we keep seeing every day? That keeps flooding our internet and television and radio. What do we do as believers? Well, we're going to listen to what Paul said to do. Right? He wrote about a light that never fails in chapter 13. He wrote about faith, hope, and love. And we'll discover that hope is not a flimsy wish, but a powerful anchor for the soul. Hope isn't denial of darkness. We're not saying darkness isn't there. We're not trying to ignore the darkness of the world. In fact, we have to look at it. We have to see it for what it is in order to go into the world and make disciples, in order to see where to shine the light into people's lives. Because I'm 100% confident that there are people who don't know God in this world, living in this darkness, and have no idea what to do about it. They have no idea how to escape it. And if they could find a way out, they would surely take it. That's why we're here. That's why people like Charlie Kirk did what he did. People like Paul and all the rest of the apostles. People like every other believer since them that preached the gospel and stood for truth in a world full of darkness. That's why you and I are all saved. Because they kept preaching the truth. They kept standing up for truth until you and I came into the world and the light was shined into our lives so that we could see our way out of darkness. Hope isn't a denial of this darkness. It's confidence in the God who promised the dawn. God promised that it won't be dark forever. God promised that in the darkness, he'll be with us. God promised that when Jesus returns, the darkness will go away permanently. And there will be light for eternity for those who believe in him, those who step into the light and live in the light. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that bring hope into your heart? It's hope that gets us through the darkness, y'all. It's hope that doesn't allow the darkness to defeat us on any occasion, on any day, for any reason. Y'all remember just recent, this last year that we went through a storm, and for the first time in my life, it was as literally as dark as it has ever been in my eyeballs, because we didn't have no power. And when the sun went down, it was over. There's nothing to do but look at your retinas that you can't see. That's how dark it was. And I'm just going to let you know, I'm not scared of the dark. But I might be concerned about what's in the dark when I can't see it. That makes sense? But when it comes to spiritual darkness, the way we face it in our world, I ain't scared of nothing because I know Jesus. I ain't scared of the spiritual darkness that tries to attack me because of the hope that's in my heart. I'm not concerned about that which comes against truth in my life. Because I know the light always wins. Jesus said it will be hard. He said you'll be hated. He said it's going to be challenging. You're going to have difficult times. And it's because you know me. Because they see me. They see the truth. And darkness can't handle the truth. Let me just read chapter 13, through. I did this yesterday at the men's breakfast, and I'm going to do it again today. Break it down as quick as I can. Verse 1 of chapter 13 as we go through. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. And when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. And finally in verse 13, but now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. I think it would be good for all of us to study chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians regularly, maybe even daily, maybe even memorize the whole chapter, which is a challenge for me because I can't memorize stuff very often. Because there is a lot going on in our world. If you want to just take a snapshot of just the last week and then take this chapter and everything that it says in it and apply to everything that's been going on in this one week alone, we might discern why the darkness has this false idea that it's going to win. And we also would discern that our greatest weapon, our greatest defense is love. Our greatest tool in this world for surviving the world, and not only surviving, but being victorious with Jesus, is love. And if it's not love, then we should not engage. Make sense? It's challenging at times, I know. How do we have hope in the darkness? How do we have hope in a fallen world, in a world that just continues to seem to get more and more hopeless? Love. Where does this hope come from? It comes from God's love. I have hope because I know that God's love is given to me freely. I know that God's love has spared me from this darkness, has shown me the way out of this darkness. Hope gets born from uncertainty and God's unfailing love. Verses 1 through 3, just right off the bat, helps us understand whether or not we can know we have this hope or not, whether or not we know we have God's love or not, right? He says, if I'm speaking with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, I can say all day long what Scripture says. I can say all day long, who Jesus is. I can say all day long that I love the Lord and I'm a Christian man. But if there's no love in this heart, I'm just speaking words that mean nothing. I don't really have anything at all if I don't have love. And the only place to get love is from God. God's love. The love that sets us free. The love that gives us hope. He's like, if I could have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and have knowledge, it doesn't make any difference how smart we can get. If you don't love, you don't have anything. Not that you shouldn't be intelligent, not that you shouldn't study, but if you don't have love, he says, I am nothing, right? If you give all your possessions to the poor, if you do a lot of good things in the world, if you feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and spend your entire life doing good for other people, but you don't have genuine love, if you don't have God's love, then it don't profit you a thing, you see. But if you have love, you have it all. Make sense? If love is living in you, then you are the light in the world, no matter how dark it gets. And you can't lose. You can't lose. And the reason why this Charlie Kirk situation is such a big deal to the world, aside from the fact that it is an obvious threat to our freedom in this country of free speech and all the other freedoms we are blessed with. This was a Christian man speaking God's truth and was killed for it. Did he lose? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. No, he had it all. He had it all. And should make us wonder and evaluate and ask the Lord, do I have it all? Do I really have it all in my life? Because I say a lot of words. Y'all know that. I say a lot of words. But are they backed up with God's love? Do they stand on God's love? Because if they do, then I can be confident about those things, which then gives me hope that no matter what the darkness does to me, or my wife, or my home, I can't lose. You see, that's what hope does. As long as you have Jesus, as long as you have the truth of God's love, you cannot lose, and you will always have hope in this hopeless world, in this dark world. It's challenging, isn't it? Because sometimes our natural reaction is to retaliate in like kind and like-mindedness. Someone harms me, it just makes me want to harm them back. That's toddler 101, isn't it? If you have any siblings, you understand what I'm saying. You could be playing in a playpen, and you got a brother or sister that flicks you in the back of the ear. Well, guess what you get to do now? You're gonna go flick them in the back of their ear. Until somebody starts crying, and then we all get whoopings. You see. But we've left our childish ways behind, haven't we? As we got to be an adult, men and women, we don't think like children anymore. We don't think like toddlers anymore. Not even spiritually. We're beyond milk sipping. We're meat eaters now. Spiritually. We're feasting on the truth of God's word. We're depending on the gospel message being alive in our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit because of our commitment to Jesus. And we're standing firmly and boldly in that truth so that we can finish well when it's time for us to finish. And if there was ever a picture of finishing well, this Charlie Kirk brother shows us what it looks like. He didn't get to choose, did he? He didn't get to choose how the finish looked, but he certainly got to choose how he lived his life. He certainly got to choose to believe the truth, and he certainly got to choose to stand up for what is true, not to fight against people that live in the darkness. His intent was to help people that were in darkness to come out of the darkness, you see. And isn't that what Jesus told us all to go do? Isn't that what Jesus said? Go into the world and make disciples. Preach the gospel so that they might get saved. You see, we don't hate the sinner. We love the sinners. We love those who are sinning, those who are lost in the dark. We're missionaries. Our mission is to go into enemy territory, the darkness, and tell people that they don't have to stay there, and that there is a way out, and that there is light that they can live in. And His name is Jesus. That's our mission. Spiritual POWs are who we're looking for. Prisoners of their own sin, living in their own darkness. Some of them, many of them, totally surrendered to that darkness. So much so that they start enjoying the darkness. They start loving their sin and get angry when the light tries to show them that it's not right. That's why Jesus said they'll hate you. That's why Jesus said they won't like you. They won't like your message. It will not be easy, this mission. But by faith, we move forward in this mission. By faith, we move forward in the darkness, being the light of the kingdom of God in the world. And by faith, we have hope that keeps us grounded and anchored in the truth. Imagine a lighthouse on a stormy night. Waves are crashing violently. I kind of like lighthouses. The structure of them. The building, how they were built. And there's a picture, I can't remember which lighthouse it is, but there's a picture of this lighthouse. It seems like it's just way out there in the ocean. And there's a man standing at the door at the bottom of the lighthouse, and the waves are crashing around the back of it. Like this dude's about to die. But he's just standing there, knowing that he's all right. Because of the structure that he's standing behind holds off the violence of the storm. But even in that storm, in those high waves and that crashing water, that lighthouse continues to just shine the light, showing everyone where the danger is, showing everyone where to go, where not to go. Isn't that who we're supposed to be in the world? Isn't that what Jesus died for us to be? Isn't that the message? Verse 8 says, love never fails. Isn't that great to know? It's never wrong to love people. There's a lot of different ways to love people. I understand that. But it is never wrong to love people. So when the headlines bring darkness and despair and everyone seems to be speaking negatively, you and I and every other believer around the world, we can just rest in the hope of Christ. We can rest in the truth of God's word. We can know that darkness does not win. Look at verse 7 for a moment. The truth bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Hope is not destroyed by trials and struggles. Hope isn't destroyed by hardships and dark things and evil things that happen. Hope's not destroyed by that. In fact, our hope is strengthened by all of that. It's a reminder that Jesus came here to go to the cross so that we could escape all of that. So that we don't have to succumb to any of that. And we don't have to participate in any of that. You see. We're the ones that are supposed to be showing something different than what the world says to do. The world would have us just surrender and just continue to live in the darkness and continue to live in the wicked ways of the world, which lead us to an eternity without God, by the way. In case you don't know what that is, it's what people call hell. Instead of asking, why is life so hard, we can ask, how is God deepening my hope in this trial? How is God strengthening my faith in this trial? How is God helping me to love in the middle of this trial? It's an opportunity to let hope grow stronger every time there's a trial in your life. every time there's some darkness that comes against you or someone harms you in some kind of way. The love of God and your faith in that increases the hope that you have, the hope that you can live with. And finally, in my last point, verse 13, but now faith, hope, and love abide in these three. In other words, live in these three things, faith, hope, and love. You want to know how to live the Christian life? You want to know what it's all about? Faith, hope, and love. Hope anchors me to Jesus. Hope anchors me to eternity with God by faith. Because I believe God. I trust God. I trust that this is true. And it's all available to me through God's love. And because of all of that, God's love comes in me and through me to the world. And if you live in those things, you'll be in the light. Notice it says the greatest of these is love. The greatest of all three of them is love. That's what was first verses 1, 2, and 3 was all about. He said, if you have tongues and of men and angels and do not have love, then you're just making noise. If you have wisdom, knowledge, you know Scripture front and back, pretty smart person, but you don't have love, then you have nothing. If you have plenty and you give it to many people to do good things and make yourself look good, then it's a waste of time. Love, y'all, is the answer. What are we going to do about all these people that are shooting each other and killing each other and murdering each other and verbally attacking each other on the internet in ugly ways? What are we going to do about that? We're going to love those people the best we know how, the best we can with the Lord's guidance. Knowing that not everybody's going to love us back. Knowing that some are going to attack us because of our love and our hope and our faith. Knowing that it's going to get ugly at times. And we're going to have to surrender some things to God's will. We're going to have to surrender some people to God. Say, Lord, I try to love them. All I can do is pray for them. All I can do is speak words of blessing into their life. In a culture obsessed with temporary things, Christians will shine when they live in the eternity. We live in eternity, y'all. When we confess Christ and we accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior and we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that was the beginning of our eternal life with God. And you and I, all of us who believe that Jesus is the Christ and are saved believers and Christians, we're living in the truth, we are on our journey into eternity. And at some point along the way, there's going to be a transition. At some point along the way, it's going to be transitioning from being in this world and being in eternity with God. And I pray that when each one of us get to leave, as our brother Charlie did, that people notice that there was a light in this world. That people notice that there was someone who stood for the truth. Someone who loved you enough to speak truth into your life. That you're missed because of the light that you brought into this world. That you're missed because of the truth that you spoke into people's lives. That you're missed because of the faith that you had in Jesus. And that you're missed because you were an example of strength and courage when everybody else was doing something different. That's my prayer for all of us. Not so that y'all are great and that I'm great, so that God would be known as great. That God would be known as holy and God would be known for the love that He is. It would be totally fine with me if y'all talk about God at my funeral more than you talk about me. I mean, I'm not going to be here anyway, so I don't care what you say. Hope is the key, isn't it? Because if you just focus on the darkness, you will lose hope. If all you do is look at the darkness, y'all. If all we do is sit around saying, wickedness is getting worse and worse, and it never been this bad before. No, it's been this bad since Cain killed Abel. Darkness has tried to defeat each one of us. And let me just make this point before I finish up. The only reason Satan and his darkness cares any two hoots about you is because God loves you. He don't care about you. If God didn't love you, Satan wouldn't have nothing to do with destroying you. Satan thinks that he's going to harm God by harming you. You understand? And that's why the darkness will do what it does if you allow it. But y'all, we have to every day get up and know that the light in us is way greater and way bigger and way stronger than any darkness could ever be. And what happens if we die? What happens if something, the evil in this world comes against us and we die? Could be worse, right? When I leave this world, I am 100% confident I will be with my Savior. 100% confident. Because I've done everything I know to do to surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. I hope you feel the same way. I hope you know that whatever happens, whatever wickedness that may come up against you and harm you and take you from this world, that because you know Jesus, you have no concern for what's going on in eternity with you. That's what gives us strength. That's what gives us hope. Finally, the darkness of this world is real, y'all. It definitely is real. There is an enemy and there is wickedness and there's darkness. But the hope that we have in Christ is greater than that. It's rooted in His love, strengthened through trials, and points us toward eternity. That's what we focus on. It's the unshakable anchor of the soul. There was an old gospel song called "The Anchor Holds." You remember that? I forget the man's name that sang that song, but it's a good song to think about what hope is. So we go out in the world, not as people crushed by the darkness, but as people who carry the torch of hope. That's what we do. We're anchored in Christ. We're confident in His work on the cross. We have no reason to be discouraged in this world. We have no reason to be discouraged about anything in this world because God's kingdom has already won. He's already claimed the victory, you see. The only time we get concerned and maybe have a little bit of negative feelings is when we see people that we know or don't know who are lost in this darkness and totally defeated by it. We should be heartbroken over those people. That's what motivates us to go and love them. That's what motivates us to go and care for them and try to put some light in their life so that they too can have hope. So that they too can maybe surrender to the Lord and be saved by the blood of Christ. You see? Right? Darkness happens every day. Wickedness happens every day. The kingdom of God is supposed to be happening every day. The mission is supposed to be going on every day. The gospel is to be preached every day, unashamedly, by each one of us, all of us. And if you don't see what happened to Charlie Kirk, if you don't see yourself in that, you're not paying attention. Not because we're Americans. It's partly because of that. Because in America, we have certain freedoms that are being challenged by what happened. But it's more because he's standing for the kingdom of God, saying that Jesus is the Christ and that this truth that's in the Bible is true. And it flies in the face of everything that wickedness wants us to believe. And what happened to him happened to every one of us because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. what happened to Paul and all the rest of the apostles who were killed for the same reason happened to every one of us. You see, what happened to Jesus on the cross should happen to each one of us. That's what it means to die to yourself. That's what it means to suffer like Jesus suffered. And to take joy in that, right? Paul was like, oh, I'm not worthy to suffer. I think it's an honor to suffer for the gospel, right? Because of our Savior. So then you think about this young girl who was killed on the train in Charlotte, just like right down the road, literally. And you look at that and you're like, man, what a terrible thing to happen, because this guy just did that. It's just wicked. It's crazy. I don't understand it. And I'm looking at the whole situation, and no one in what I could see got up to help that girl. Maybe it's just the EMT in me or the firefighter. Nobody helped her. And the reality is there are people in the same condition spiritually in this world that nobody's helping. They're dying spiritually in their sins. And God is saying to all of us, get up and help those people. Love those people. Put some light in their life. Because light always wins. Love always wins, you see. And these are just a few examples of what's been going on since Cain and Abel, y'all. Since Cain and Abel. And not every part of wickedness is that drastic and that obvious and that public. There's wickedness going on in the world probably right down the street from you that you don't even know about. You understand what I'm saying? It's like this is our job. This is our command. This is our mission. This is what we do. This is what Jesus died for us to do, to be the light in the middle of all of this. Because society is screaming. I mean, everything you can find is screaming negative, 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 and how bad, how bad. But if you notice the church, especially now publicly, the church is saying, but Jesus this, and but God this. So I'm seeing the light. I'm wondering if it's going to be a revival in our world of some sort. That's what happens when people die for Jesus. People start waking up, start realizing that this might be real. This might be true. And there might be hope. And I, for one, am doing the best I can do to commit to making sure everybody I can tell understands there's hope to be had. People come to me from now on. I'm challenging you to do the same thing. People come to me, start talking about how bad the world is. I'm going to say, yeah, but Jesus brings hope in the world. Just make it a natural reaction. Don't even think about what's going to happen if you say that. Don't even worry about what somebody might do or say, or you might lose a friend. Well, I don't believe in that Jesus. Okay. But it's real. It's true. You just got to do it, y'all. You have to want to do it. I love you and the Lord loves you. I just want you to be encouraged by the hope that we have in Christ today. Because if you don't get reminded, you're just going to succumb to the darkness. How many times have I been sitting in my house reading in some kind of book, the Bible or some other book I'm trying to read, and I've been reading so long, I realize I'm doing this right here, and it's because the sun went down and I didn't turn the light on, and I didn't realize I couldn't see. It's like the darkness just crept in slowly and I didn't notice it until I started straining, you see. And it can happen. You think you're saved, you think you're good, you go to church, you know the Bible, you got Christian friends around you, and life is okay, even though there's darkness everywhere. You never know. Next thing you know, you're going to wake up and there's a little bit of darkness involved in your life. So just be careful. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you don't know the Lord, you're in danger. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have hope. If you don't know the Lord, you're missing out on His love. You ought to get saved today. If you don't want to get saved, come talk to me. Let's sing. There's a fountain.